कुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी। We are discussing the 1000 names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. Today we will discuss the 5 names from 136th name to the 140th name. So it's always good to again and again remember that the Devi who is being praised, Devi who is being explained or described in Lalita Sahasranama is none other than Nirguna Parabrahman, that Brahman who is known through or who is described in the scriptures as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Na Paraha. So it is that Brahman who pervades the entire world, who is the basis or the substratum of the illusory world. Such a Brahman is being praised, is being described. It's Nirguna Parabrahman who is being praised in Lalita Sahasranama as well. And that is being made clear, very clear, in these namas that we have been discussing for the last couple of days. So Nirguna explanation of Devi as Nirguna Brahman is being continued in the next namas as well. So we will see a summary of the nama at the end, but it's always good to remember that these namas denote Devi or denote the nature of Devi, very nature of Devi, rather than anything else. So these denote as to who Devi really is, rather than the initial namas which spoke about the advent of Devi in the world, the avatara, avatara varnana and bhakta anugraha varnana. All those were initially made, but these names are the names that are going to come, that are the most important ones, because they define Devi as it is, or as Devi is. The very nature of Swarupam is being explained. So the next nama, the first nama of the day is Om Nityayai Namaha. Nitya, Nitya means one who is eternal. So we'll see as to what these namas really mean a little later. So Nitya means eternal, she is always present. The second nama is Om Nirakarayai Namaha. Nirakara, there is no akaram. One who is eternal cannot have any form, because any form or akaram means that she is not eternal. Akaram means there will be birth and death, which means it's not eternal. And Devi is Nitya, that means she is Nirakara. And Om Nirgunayai Namaha, the same with Guna as well. One who is eternal, one who is there always, such a Devi needs to be without any Gunas, because Gunas also limit the entity. Gunas condition or limit the entity, which means Gunas also in a way make the entity temporary or non-eternal. And Om, I missed one nama, Om Nirakulayai Namaha. Nirakula, so we can say, we can take this nama in like two meaning. So Nirakula, so two meanings, like one we can say without any kulam, but since it is Nirakulam, that meaning doesn't make much sense here. So Nihi Akula, so Akula means, Akulam means getting angry. And Irakula means one who doesn't get angry at all. So Devi is one who doesn't get angry. So we'll see as to why later. So the last nama of the day is Om Nishkalayai Namaha. Nishkala. Devi is without any parts. Kala means parts. Even as a tree has various parts of branch, leaf, etc. Devi doesn't have any parts. Devi is Nirakulam. Nishkala. Without any parts, partless like Akasham. So Nitya, Devi is eternal. We already know Devi is eternal because Devi is the creator. Devi is the protector. Devi is the destroyer. That means Devi is beyond Srishti Sthiti Layam. Devi is beyond everything. Devi was present before creation. Devi is present in creation as the substratum. And Devi will be present after destruction, after Pralayam as well. Therefore, Devi is Nitya, eternal. And there is only one eternal entity in the entire world that stands Shruti, Yukti and Anubhavam, or that can stand the scriptural or scriptural statements, that can be proved through scriptural statements, that can be proved through logic, that can be proved through experience. Devi is Nitya because Chitihi, Devi is consciousness. And Shastras say that consciousness or Sat, existence, Adeva Saumya Idam Agre Asit, existence alone existed prior to creation. Before creation, existence alone was there. That means before creation, Sat alone was there. And Devi or Brahman is explained as Janma Adyasya Yataha, as a substratum of the illusory world, as that from which the world has come, in which the world resides, and onto which the world merges at the time of destruction. That means it alone exists. So that means Shruti proves Devi as Nitya or eternal. Devi is always there. Devi is beyond time. Mandukya Upanishad says that Omkaram or Brahman is something which is there beyond three times. It is there in three times and beyond three times. It is only present. It means it is eternal. It stands beyond temporary existence because it always exists. It is Sat. So it is also proved through Krishna's statement of Sat is as something which exists at all times. So yesterday, consciousness or Devi of the nature of consciousness was there. Today Devi is there, and tomorrow also Devi will be there. So the logical proof is that Devi is consciousness. Consciousness is only there now. Consciousness was there yesterday. Consciousness will be there tomorrow. That means consciousness alone exists always. And since Devi is Chitihi, Devi is described in a later nama as consciousness, and consciousness exists at all time. So consciousness always exists. We know that irrespective of whether Devi exists, irrespective of whether Vedanta exists, irrespective of whether the world exists, or some Brahman who is different from us exists, we exist, or the I, that which pulsates in each one of us as I exist, that's Puranam, that's Furti, that is consciousness, that is Chit, and that Chit always exists, that Chit is always there beyond time. We know that. We know at all points of time that I exist. We never cease to exist. The I never ceases to exist. I is beyond doubt as well, because we know I exist. I know that I exist. There is no scope for even doubt there. So it is always there. And since Devi is consciousness in nature, that means Devi is always there. So logically as well, it is proved, and experience also proves it. So that means consciousness or Devi as consciousness always exists as per the scriptures, through logic as well, because it is a substratum of the illusory world, therefore it has to exist always. And it is also a matter of experience that I or the consciousness or conscious I always exists. That means it is proved through Shruti, Yukti and Anubhavam that Devi is Nitya. And Devi is eternal, which means Devi always exists. Which means that she cannot have any form. Nirakara and Nirguna. Nirakaram and Nirgunam. Akaram. Akaram or form is only for that entity which has parts, which is not Nishkalam. So that which has parts is subject to change. That this is because it can have association with other objects. We have hands, therefore we hold on to things. We cannot hold on to space. We cannot catch hold of space because space is partless. That which has parts will have association. That which is partless will not have association. And without any parts or without parts, there cannot be any form or quality. Quality or form is based on parts. And Devi cannot have parts because an entity with part is always subject to change, which means that it will vanish at one point of time. So that which is subject to change, that which is changing, is subject to birth and death. It is subject to Shadvikaram, and as a result it is born and it dies. So that which takes birth, that which is born and that which dies is not eternal, it is temporary. That which is which takes birth and dies is present only for a particular period of time, which means it is not eternal, it is temporary. And since Devi is Nitya, Devi is eternal, we have already proved that Devi is eternal. Since Devi is eternal, therefore she cannot have parts. Because anything with parts is changing and temporary or anityam, whereas Devi is Nityam, which means Devi doesn't have parts. That means Devi is Nishkala. And since Devi doesn't have parts, that also means that Devi doesn't have any form or quality. So this is Devi's real nature. So if it is the real nature of Devi that she doesn't have any part, quality and all, then why explain the form of Devi in the first 100 namas? Why explain in detail the form of Devi? We have already discussed it, but just to mention it once again so that we don't forget. Form or form worship is prescribed for those who are not able to worship a formless God. Klesho adhikataristesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukkam dehavadbihi avapyate. So Krishna says in Gita, in the 12th chapter Bhakti Yoga, he says that for a person who thinks that he is the body, which means he has association with people, association with things, he considers things as well as people as real, which means he has attachment and aversion to people or things. That means attachment or aversion is only possible when we consider something as real. We get so attached to our father, so attached to our parents, that though we learn Vedanta, we cannot implement Vedanta. We can only cry. We cannot implement it. As much or whatever goes inside through one ear, it comes out through the other ear if it is Vedanta. Only attachment stays behind. It should be the opposite way, but this is what happens. Attachment just stays. Go on telling something again and again and again, still nothing will happen. So Yoga Vasishta says in Yoga Vasishta, Vasishta says that this is like trying to get something out of ashes. So something has, like firewood has been burnt into ashes. From that ashes we are trying to create fire. Is it possible? It's not at all possible. It's of no use. So that's how our life is. Our pitiable situation is such that whatever goes in, it's of no use. Whether we go to Amma, whether we learn advanced work, whether we learn Brahma Sutra, it doesn't matter. It's of no use because we have attachment. So because of the attachment, we are not able to see things in the right perspective. So attachment means we think them or think people as real. So attachment is when we consider something some entity or people to be real. That is what is called attachment. That's how attachment gets created, when we think something to be real. So since we think or we consider things or people to be real, that means we think the form is real. And since we consider form as real, we cannot worship the formless. For a person who thinks he is the body, he has things around himself, other forms are real, his own form is real, other forms are real, or attachment to other forms means that our form is also real. We have the notion that my body is real. If there is no my body, the notion of my body, then there will be no attachment to other people as well. But we have that, and as a result of that, we get attached to people around us. So as long as the notion of body is there, for such people, formless worship is impossible. It's very, very tough. That is what Krishna says. And that is the reason why various forms have been prescribed. Though we learn, still we cannot implement it. We can just speak about Jagan Mithya, we can speak about Vedanta, we can give lectures on Mandukya Upanishad to others, but we cannot implement even a small thing. We cannot even overcome attachment to just one person. It's not getting away from the entire world, but we cannot even get rid of attachment to just one person. Even that we cannot do. It is such a pitiable situation. And still we'll claim that we are so devoted to Amma, we are so devoted to our Guru, we have total surrender to the Guru, we will do whatever the Guru says, we want moksha. Everything comes, but only in words. And that is because we have the notion that I am the body. As a result of that notion, we cannot worship the formless. And for such people, or majority of the people are that way, that they cannot worship the formless. They cannot see Ishwara as pervading the entire world. They need first a form, and they have to pervade the form. Just directly worshipping Ishwara as a substratum of the entire world is impossible. Though we still may say or claim that, oh, I don't have any Ishta Devata, how can I get a mantra? I don't have any Ishta Devata. We say it so easily, but we cannot implement it. So it's like a person who knows inside but doesn't want to show outside that he doesn't know, or he cannot worship the Nirguna Brahman, but still he wants to. Externally he wants to, internally he knows it's not possible. So it will be that way, it will be of no use. So Hayagriva knows it very well that majority of us are like that. We just claim to be Nirguna Bhaktas when we cannot, when we don't even have bhakti. In the first place, we don't have bhakti, so what to speak about Nirguna Bhakti? So we cannot do it, and therefore form worship has been prescribed. And that form has to be seen everywhere. Everything has to become that form, which means the form will vanish into the formless, thereby taking us to Nirguna Brahman. So form worship has been prescribed initially, and then bhakti comes, upasana of bhakti, or bhakti anugraha varnana comes, which means that we have to have bhakti, we have to see that form everywhere. And once we do that, it merges into the formless, it merges into the Nirgunam. And we may get angry with things. We may get angry with another person. We may get angry with objects around us. Though we are spiritual people, still we get attached and averted to things, which means we have ragam and dvesham, or kama krodham we have. But Devi cannot have any krodham at all. That is what is mentioned as nirakula. Devi cannot have any krodham, because whom to get angry with? Because Devi knows that everything is one entity. Therefore, she cannot get angry with anything. That is what is depicted by Amma through her action. She cannot get angry with any person. Even if she gets angry, it is only external display. Or in that anger itself, we can see the compassion or the love of a mother. That is because Devi or Amma knows that everything is one entity. If everything is me alone, then how can I get angry? Whom to get angry with, and who to get angry with? Nirguna explanation, or in a way Nirguna Upasana, we can say it's not Upasana, but qualities or explanation of Devi, or Nirguna aspect of Devi, or pure Nirguna Brahman aspect is continued in the next namas as well. These are namas which are very important. We have to do a lot of mananam in order to overcome all the obstacles that we have in life and be able to at least remember Nirguna Brahman, if not implement it, at least remember it and have a form and other things for that time being. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.